Hi, I'm Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from rphys.com.
And this is the Phys Ed Podcast.
Joey, we finally made it.
We're here in Germany.
We are here in Germany. First time together in person at the same time. It's a weird feeling. I've got
it
to
is
be
kind
honest.
Of weird. It's really weird. It's been really cool though. Like I was saying the other day, right? Like we kind of like met and just started chatting. Like nothing really changed except for the fact that we weren't talking 140 characters at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or via the internet.
Yeah, it's funny because we've been sort of saying to people all across the week that like. We're internet friends, and it's every time we say it, I sort of just feel the feeling like it sounds a bit creepy in a sense. Like, oh, here's my internet friend. I think there's this like stigma attached to internet friends, but no, it's really cool to be here. We've definitely been enjoying Munich's finest product.
We have to do the bottoms
up. Prost.
So yeah, so Nathan and I are here at the European Council of International Schools Physical Education Conference in Munich, Germany. It's been amazing so far.
First time in Europe.
Yeah, it's my first time in Europe. I'm having a little trouble adjusting to this funny money here. But no, it's been incredible. We're at Munich International School, which is out of this world. It's like Hogwarts.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And just connecting with a ton of really amazing teachers. And yeah, it's just been a great time so far.
Yeah, it's been really cool. It's you know, like I wanted to come to this conference last year when it was in Switzerland. I didn't get the chance to, and then when I heard it was going to be here in Munich, I was like, I've got to come here. Like I can't miss out on this. And then when I heard you were coming, and like our third amigo who like couldn't be here because he's like at home like preparing
his
keynote for tomorrow. Andy Vasily's been here as well, and he's here with his wife and his kids. So it's been really cool to have the three of us all in one place, and like we've just met some really really awesome people over the last few days, and there's still a couple of days to go. So yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's. Honestly, what's been sweet is just seeing how passionate everybody is, and like coming from all different parts of the world. But also, it's really cool for me. Like, I don't teach in an international school, but it's cool getting to see the international community. Now, so many teachers here already know each other and have taught in similar schools. No, it's been really cool.
Yeah, I see. Oh, I'm looking here on our meerkat, and although we can't see it, but Osama says hi, Joey.
Hey.
What about me, Osama? Like, I'm here as well, right? So, how's
hey,
it going?
Osama.
Glad that you're tuning in live. Wish you could have been here with us.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you did the keynote yesterday.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about what you talked about?
Yeah. So yesterday I did. It was a brand new keynote. It was the first time I was given it, and it was on designing games for learning. Usually I used to give it like as an active session, but you know, just talking about how can we use games as a tool to help our students learn, and how can we design games to make sure that that's happening. So, you know, like in the keynote, I went over three big ideas, talked about backwards design, which has been like the theme of my year between like St. George's School and Terry Drain, who I got to meet in Seattle, which is sweet. And so backwards design, talked about layering games, which is something I'm obviously a huge fan of, and also how you can make modifications, secondary rules to kind of create refinement task situations in a game situation. So I think it was well received. There was a ton of people at my breakout afterwards.
Yeah,
I was expecting like 20 people, and I think it was closer to like 90. But no, it was a ton of fun. And then gave my second session with Andy, which I'll say here on the podcast. We kind of threw together at the last second.
17 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, 17 minutes, put it together. We kind of knew what we wanted to talk, we just didn't know what it was like the actual form was going to look like. But that too was, I think, was really well received. We talked about visible learning. And tomorrow I'm giving my last session, talking about assessment in games. I'm going to be talking a lot about like just how I manage the classroom, Google Forms, and that kind of stuff. But yeah, yesterday was awesome. Today's been amazing. Got to kick the day off with your keynote. So how about you share a little bit about that one?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, before I talk about my keynote, I guess I want to talk about yours, because like it was really incredible. Obviously, I've seen a lot of the stuff that you've done at other conferences online, and I've seen some of your keynotes, and like always amazed by the amount of work that you put into your keynote presentations. And I know a lot of people have been asking questions about that over the last couple of days, but yeah, it was really cool to see you speak in person. And like you said, like I obviously knew about your layering of games and stuff, but like I think for me the one thing that I took out of your presentation was like your primary and secondary rules. And it's not that like I didn't know about that or I wasn't doing it, it was just the way that you explained it to me. You're like, and I was like, boom, light bulb, like really went off in my head. And like more in the way that I can sort of explain that to the kids now, because before I was just doing that thing with those things without really realizing that that's what I was doing. Yeah. So like to be able to take that back and sort of like create that culture in my classroom, it's definitely going to help. So that was really cool. And yeah, like your breakout sessions were pretty crazy. I remember like you were playing one of the layers of slide tag, and it was like 90 people running around this gym, and it was like,
oh no, everyone's at tag. Yeah,
everyone's at tag. Yeah,
it's hard to play everyone's at frozen tag when literally like there's more people than there are like square meters. Yeah. Like it's insane.
Yeah,
how many people are, but it worked, and people seem to have fun, and you know, add a little bit of humor in there, and no, it was good. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And about the keynote, like I was showing you, like there's like one sequence that's like 20 seconds long. It took like 3 hours to put together, and that's just because I'm crazy. And like we said before, like people ask me how I make these things, and it really just comes down to like sitting in front of my computer and just driving myself insane.
Yeah, definitely. So that was really cool, like seeing your sessions yesterday, and then like, my keynote was this morning, and I changed a few things after seeing yours, just to like try and like make a bit more of a connection between what you were saying and what I was going to say. But I think hopefully mine was pretty well received as well.
Oh, super well received.
I talked about sort of my journey through physical education. I had some photos in there of me as a 4-year-old, and actually I think like you mentioned, like I had some pictures of my school reports
from
kindergarten, and I think the quote was like, Nathan finds it difficult to follow rules, and Nathan needs to be less competitive and lose his win at all cost attitude.
It was just really like politically correct language saying, yep, like Nathan's a little shit. Yep. He drives us insane in class.
Pretty much. So I sort of like use that as a base and say like, you know, like I was that kid in the class. I was that kid that, you know, we all have and we all like get frustrated by. And it was just my love of sport and my love of actually just being active and stuff. So I sort of like used that as a basis to start with, and then went on to like how obsessed I was with sport as a teenager, and then I went to university and studied PE because that was just a logical progression. And then sort of then I talked about all the people I've connected with, like you and Andy, and I talked about Adam and Naomi and my good friend Colin in Singapore, and Jared and Ash and a few other people, and how those people had like a really profound impact on me as a teacher and as a person, and helped me to change the way that I saw things. And I definitely saw, and I spoke to people after the keynote, and I just saw, you know, when you see those people and they're just like nodding along in agreement, thinking like, yeah, like I know that, like I feel like that too. And one of the things I mentioned was that like in every school I've taught in, I've always been the only PE teacher, and I think that's a really common thing for people. They're often the only one in a school. So to see, I guess, somebody who's had that experience and been able to like change the way they do things, I think people went away and thought like, yeah, I can change one or two things in the way that I'm doing things.
See, what was great too, and like you were saying, like people nodding along and whatnot, and people doing the same like in my keynote as well, is that the like when we were contacted about this conference, we were told like it's all about teachers teaching teachers.
Yeah.
And that's why they wanted to make sure that the keynotes that they were bringing in were actual phys ed teachers, practitioners currently teaching.
Yeah.
And it's just nice. Like, it's like somebody yesterday was asking me, like, are you nervous about your keynote, or the day before, sorry, are you nervous about your keynote? And I was like, nah, like you just have to, like, obviously you're a little stressed out because you're talking for a lot of people, but you're talking to teachers, and it's so nice to be able to do that and just connect with people and show people that you're one of them. And yeah. I don't know. I've just been learning so much. Like, even today, like, listening to you, like, we were in an inquiry session earlier. You know, at St. George's, we're really trying to move towards that, and I'm kind of struggling with the whole concept. Like, I've seen what you've done, I've seen what Andy's done, but just sitting down, getting to hear you talk and hear other teachers who are doing inquiry-based learning in their phys ed programs, it's been amazing just being able to share. And I find that a lot of the sessions, like a lot of the sit-down sessions I've been to, we always wind up going off on these crazy tangents.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just going completely off topic. Because a lot of people are just excited to be talking to other teachers.
Exactly. Exactly. And I like I said, there are so many teachers out there in schools that are by themselves, so like they don't get the opportunity to have these conversations a lot, and so that's why like conferences like this are great. And like some of the ideas that I've heard from people over the last couple of days have just been like you need to be like sharing that stuff with other people. So it's
try and get them blogging.
Yeah, definitely.
At least on the podcast.
Yeah, we actually have somebody here we're going to invite to come and speak to us in a little bit. She's sitting up at the bar at the moment. We'll call her down in a second, Joe. She's like, as we're walking back to the bus today, and this is what I love about this conference is like, because it's like the school's a little bit out of where we're staying, like everybody gets on the bus in the morning, and there's just this vibe of like everyone's like super pumped.
So,
and
the then like so good.
The bus on the way back is exciting as well. And like there was a pretty crazy bus ride last night. Like, do you wanna, maybe we should talk about last, or maybe we shouldn't talk about last night.
But things got a little crazy last night. Yeah. I have no regrets.
Yeah. Well, when in Germany, you know, you gotta like.
So we went to the beer hall. That's what they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
The oldest beer hall in Munich, and you know you're packing on. Like 100-150 phys ed teachers into like these two buses, and then sent into a beer hall. So people were pretty pumped leading up to the event. And we got there, and you're ordering this like good German beer, and it's so cheap, and there's so much of it. So no, things got a little crazy.
It escalated quickly.
Definitely sang the Canadian national anthem a few times. That's why my voice is still a little scratchy today. And a lot of singing, maybe some dancing on tables.
There was a little bit of dancing on tables. And the best bit I loved about it was like Jason, who's the organizer here, was like, they like the beer hall was so excited about having us there that they put their best tablecloths out, not realizing that we would want to get up on the tables. And then we did get up on the table, and it was fun. It was a good night. I obviously had to like cut it off a little bit because I had I had my keynote this morning, and I actually had three sessions back to back to back. So.
I was drinking for you.
Yeah, Joey was definitely drinking for me, but we're going to make up for it tonight. So, but yeah, like we said, just all those, like I think I started this on the bus. It's the podcast. We're going off topic already. Like, this is just, this is what we do. But yeah, like on the walk back to the bus, like just like a really quick conversation about something. And like, I looked at you and you looked at me like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
We need to get this on. So
people underestimate how good they are.
Exactly.
Like, people underestimate, like, they're great teachers, and they think like, oh, like, like, again, you hear it all the time. People who are saying, like, oh, I'm on Twitter, but, you know, like, I'm lurking. Like, I'm not really getting involved.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they can't bring any value to the conversation. But the truth is that, like, they can bring so much value.
Yeah.
And that's why I was trying. Even, I want to talk a little bit about Seattle.
Yeah.
But, you know, even in Seattle, when I was talking about giving my Twitter 101 session, I was telling people, like, don't just lurk. Like, go out there and share. Even if it's just, like, one tweet a day. Make sure you're putting content out there, because that's when you start really seeing the value of it.
Yeah.
You have no idea how like your ideas, your opinions, your comments or anything, how that can have a huge impact on somebody else's teaching. So no. Anyways,
yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're a Twitter lurker, do me a favor and tweet something out today.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you had your sessions, a lot of your sessions last today. You've got a session tomorrow. I had obviously had the keynote this morning. And then
by the way, Nathan's a marathon man. He gave a keynote and then two breakout sessions back to back to back.
Yeah.
It was insane.
And then I couldn't speak for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But that might have had something to do with last night as well. I had the keynote. Yeah, Joe, come down. We were just talking about you, actually. So we want to hear your...
It comes around, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody.
Join us. Everybody join us. That's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Move your bag.
We always go off topic. We can talk about skiing all you want. Anything you want here.
So we got Joe here. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Hi, I'm...
You don't need to be close to it. You can just... It's fine.
Okay, cool. I'm Joe, and I am originally from Australia, but I'm teaching at Metropolitan School in Frankfurt, and I've been there for almost 2 years.
Yeah, that's great. What we were just saying is, like, we were talking about how great the bus rides have been to and from school every day, because it's like everybody's like super excited in the morning to go there, and then everybody's super excited on the way back because I've had a day full of all this like exciting learning. And we're talking about like just the conversation that we had on the walk to the bus today, and you were telling us about like some of the stuff you're doing in your Netwall games unit. So I'd love for you to share it with us right now. So you want to like basically take us through what you told us earlier?
All right. So this is... I've done this with grade 3s, 4s, 5s, but I kind of use it as a challenge day. And then what I do is I randomly put students on a chart. So there's 2 on the top line, and then 3, then 4, then 5. And I just make sure that there's always two on the top and at least three or four on the bottom so that no one's left by themselves. And what I do is then I get them to challenge each other, and the whole idea is they've got to try and get to the top of the chart by the end of the lesson, sometimes two lessons. And the way they do that is they have to challenge someone on the level that's above them. And they challenge in one of three games that we've, or modified games that we've been doing over the unit. So it could be a one-on-one volleyball game looking at their digging and setting skills, or it could be a wall ball game looking at their hand-eye coordination, catching, throwing skills. And it could be a bat tennis game using either bat tennis bats or tennis rackets. And then they play their little game and they have to score it, and then whoever wins, they take the top rank, and the other one goes to the bottom rank, and then they have to challenge someone else on that row to try and get up. So the kids go up and down, and they can actually look at their opponents and see their weaknesses and strengths, and then try and figure out their best choice of game, because I get the kids who are on the bottom level to pick the game of their choice so that then they've got a little bit more of an advantage. And that way then they can say, oh, that person's really good at tennis, so I might choose to do volleyball because it's a bigger ball and it's above their head, so different skills. They can't re-challenge the same person unless there's no one else to challenge. And if they do challenge, they have to challenge in a different sport. So, and then at the end of the game, they have to say one thing that they thought their opponent did really, really well, and then something that they thought their opponent could work on, so that then they're evaluating each other as well and learning from each other. And at the end, it doesn't really matter who's on top. It's just about who's moved and what they've learned from it. So kids really enjoy it.
It's such an awesome example of providing choice to the students. That's what I was telling you earlier, is that, you know, oftentimes, like, you hear, like, you want to give your students as much choice as possible. And as I was saying, like, I always think, like, okay, yeah, you can choose which equipment you want to use. But I never actually thought of having students choose which game that they can use to challenge somebody. And it's great, because then you're letting that student select an activity in which they feel comfortable, that they're like, okay, yeah, I know I can be successful at this. Especially, you know, like, if you're saying, like, there's no way I'm going to beat that person at tennis, so then they don't have to choose tennis. So it's really, really cool. I've never heard of like that kind of system. Like, I've done ladder tournaments before, but never using that way. So getting the kids to actually get to choose kind of the rules of the game, that's just an awesome idea.
Something else that I think we talked about when we were having this conversation was, like, you were mentioning the idea of, like, changing the secondary rules. And, like, you know, somebody's, okay, they've chosen to play badminton, or they've chosen to play volleyball or whatever. And you can have, like, one kid on one side of the net who has to, like, hit the ball on before it bounces. But then on the other side, you can say, like, okay, you can hit it on, it, like, bounce twice before you can hit it. And it's, you know, like, even then, it's still allowing those students to be successful. And, like you said, Joey, you know, like, net wall games is such a great unit, yeah, like that, because, like, you can really easily change those secondary rules to allow students to have success in things.
Man, net wall game units are just the best, because it's so easy as a teacher to manage and really bring a lot of modifications to the game for each student so that they're working at their own level. And that's why yesterday, I was saying, like, Andy and I put our session together yesterday, like, in 17 minutes. And
it was a good session.
It worked out. It worked out pretty good.
I need to know what's going to look like if you've planned a lot longer.
but no, you know, it's like, that's what I was just trying to get people to see, is that, you know, it's great because you can bring smaller groups in for tactical talk and not have to stop the whole class. And again, modify, like, even the court dimensions that we were talking about yesterday. We were talking about varying force and direction. So, you know, like, making one side, one person's court, really narrow but long, or making the other person's court short and wide, to force them to think, okay, I got to send short, I got to send it long, or you want to send it right, I want to send it left. So depending on what you're looking for, like, now wall games are just great for that.
But I also find I get the kids, as long as they understand the rules of who's playing which rules at the time, and it's okay, but they also have the freedom to change the rules. So I might be playing wall ball, and I may have chosen that I'm going to let the ball bounce before I catch it, whereas my partner might be catching it on the full. But then if I want to try and challenge myself, then as long as the point's over, then I speak to my opponent and say, right, I'm going to take the catch out, like the bounce out. I want to actually try in the next few points without the catch. And then if it works, keep it. But if it doesn't, then all I need to do is at the end of the point say, actually, no, I want to go back. And as long as you've got that communication and the open-mindedness that, you know, we're actually trying to help other people improve as well as us, because if others improve, we're going to improve.
Exactly.
And just giving each other the flexibility to have that ownership. And then kids don't feel like they've failed either, because they can have a chance of the higher level. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, then it's okay if I go back to the next level. So
totally.
Yeah. I was really impressed with that idea, and I was like, it's something. You need another drink?
Yeah, I'll give her a drink. How many times have we said
like
this week?
A new PhD.
The thing I really loved about it was like, that's something that I can like take back to my school on Monday and use, and I like, it's all those, like we were saying before, all those little ideas that you get from people in those conversations outside of the actual sessions that you just like, yeah, this is a really great idea, and like I see the value. And then like, even like, so like you came to my sport ed session today, and like I just threw a lot of stuff at people today, and like a lot of it will stick and a lot, and some of it won't stick, but like I said to people, the whole idea is like, you know, just try all this stuff, like see what works for you. And then like you came up to me after the session, you're like, yeah, like I've done this, and here are some things that I've done. And like you showed me a couple of apps that you'd used, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like next time I do it, I'm going to use that. And that's what I love about conferences like this. Like I was saying to Joey before, like when you work in a school by yourself, you don't get to have those conversations.
No.
So imagine
you have them with yourself, and you go backwards and forwards, and you've got no one to collaborate.
Exactly. And that's the best bit. Like I often think, like imagine if we could all work in the same school. Like imagine the conversations that we would have every day. It's like we've talked about it before, like we should set up a PE school, we should just like make it happen.
Sports
and just
school.
Like get everybody there. And like it's just so valuable when you get to like share our ideas with other people. And sort of reflect on what you've done and what someone else has done. So yeah, it's really awesome. And like your challenge now is like get yourself online and like set yourself up.
Get you on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get on Twitter.
And then you got to start sharing your ideas, because you have really, really good ideas. And actually, you're the first guest we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, wow.
First guest ever.
Prost.
Because often, like, so like for those people that listen to us, they know that like we, like Joe's in Montreal, I'm in Singapore, and it's always like I'm either like just waking up and going to bed, and he's the opposite. And I know our fiancés probably get pretty frustrated with us when
you can always tell who's like on their way to bed, because they're like trying to wrap up, and the airport's like, no man, I'm full of life right now, I just got so many ideas.
Yeah, like I think last time I was like trying to go to bed, and you're like, you knocked the microphone off the table, like you're standing up, you're like, you're trying to get on the table, I think. Like,
it wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So exciting times. And then tomorrow we've got Andy.
Yeah.
So
Andy. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
Andy's so great, and like I was talking to Andy today. And he's just so passionate about everything. And like he's like so like emotionally invested into everything he does. And he was showing me a bit of his keynote today. I'm really excited. Like a lot, some of the stories he said, I've heard them before. And he's like, he has crazy stories. Like he's lived an amazing life. But you know, like he's talking, he's getting so into it. And he's like, man, like, oh no. And then it's like, I need to say this. I'm like, Andy, like you need to focus too. Like you can't just like, you're not gonna get like a 6-hour keynote. But no, it's good. Yeah, he probably could. I think it's gonna be really great. It's gonna be a ton of fun. Getting to see him, getting to hear him speak, and just see what he's got to share. But yeah.
Just on our live stream, yeah, I was just taking a picture there. We're in the Hemingway bar right now.
Yeah, we're in the Hemingway bar.
It's very swanky. There's actually a box of cigars over there that we were taking a look at before.
So those of you who are listening, we're playing around with Periscope and Meerkat. We're trying to get this live stream going, but
yeah,
having Wi-Fi difficulties.
Yeah, I'm gonna shut this one off because I don't have any.
Yeah.
in this stream, yes.
So tomorrow. So I was saying before, I was in Seattle a couple of weeks ago for the Shape America National Convention. That was crazy. It was my first Shape convention. Like 5,000 teachers there, I think.
Yep.
Seattle's a beautiful city. I know you're a huge fan of Seattle.
I'm a very, very big fan of Seattle, yeah.
And it was really great getting to meet, like, I got to meet Adam Howell for the first time. I got to meet Colin Brooks for the first time. A ton of other teachers, too. I think my highlight person, though, my MVP of the conference...
Andy Hare.
Yeah. Andy Hare is such a great guy. That guy is incredibly funny. And like I said, like, so... At one point, we there was a ballroom that was open, and he was like, hey, like, who wants to learn how to play cricket? So we're like, okay, yeah, let's go. And none of us knew any of the rules of cricket, and I swear he invented some of the things he was saying. Like when he was explaining the point system and everything, we're like, none of this makes sense. But we trusted Andy. Like I said, he gave me a pair of socks and everything. They're not my lucky socks. I wore them the first day I wore them. I had all kinds of great news at school, which, by the way, I'll say now, for the first time in my career, I'm actually going to have a permanent 100% teaching contract.
That's
so
awesome.
I've always been part. I've always been part time, and I was just told by my school that I'm gonna be bumped up to 100%, and the contract's mine. Like as long as they don't fire me, which hopefully they won't. So I was wearing those socks. So those are officially my.
I wish Matt socks. Pomeroy was here to give us one of his.
sound effects. So Matt does this other podcast, the Pizzetagogy podcast, and he always has these cool sound effects or these. Oh, they're cool, but they're definitely entertaining.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I was in Seattle, again, meeting all these teachers, hanging out with teachers I've seen a couple times this year, like Joe Bailey and Crystal Goritz. I also have to say a huge shout out again to Artie Kamiya, who got me to Seattle, invited me out there, and we did a presentation together. But then also, Artie got nominated to the Shape America Board of Directors, and he was so casual about it. We're walking up to like the hotel one night, and Artie's like walking, he's like, yeah, you know, got to be there tonight, got nominated to the board, so... And I was like, what? That's crazy. Why aren't you making a bigger deal about this? So Artie's amazing. But one of the highlights of the conference for me was Adam, Naomi, and Colin did something called the Demo Slam. And I'd never seen a Demo Slam before. I'd heard of the idea a bit, but I'd never seen it in action. So for those of you who are listening, if you're not familiar with it, a Demo Slam is basically a teacher goes up and has 2 minutes to present an idea. And at the end of 2 minutes, even if you're mid-sentence, you get slammed. So everybody claps their hands and says slam. And you have to stop talking, and then somebody else comes up. And it was so much fun, and it was so cool too, because there was a massive crowd that gathered around where we were doing this slam. And they just had like a little Pico projector, and like they had an iPad with a timer. And we actually got shut down by security because they were saying it was like a fire hazard. That was probably like the best way it could end, because everybody wanted like more from it. So tomorrow, we're actually thinking of hosting a demo slam. We're gonna have it announced in the morning, and hopefully we'll get that up, maybe get that up on Meerkat or Periscope.
Yep. Yeah,
and share that with some other teachers.
Yeah, because it's like all those ideas like you just shared with us, like, you know, it's like, I think something that like often say to people and what you don't think about is like everybody does things within their class, within their school that is just part of like how they teach, and you don't really realize that like for somebody else, like that's such like what you may do is like so completely different, and it can be just something that you don't even think about doing. And then somebody else sees you do it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's awesome! I never thought of that." And that's why I love like going and like seeing other people teach as well.
Yeah.
Like I think there's nothing better than like going and watching another person teach, like whether they're a PE teacher or whether they're a classroom teacher. You just like see little things, and you're like, "Oh yeah, that's awesome!
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that when I go back." So like, yeah, I'm super excited for the demo slam tomorrow. I think it's gonna be
yeah,
really
it'll be a ton of fun. Even if we could set up, you know, what else would be cool? It'd be cool to set up like. If people want to teach a quick lesson or something,
yeah.
You know, just getting to see, like I was talking to you today about, like, my teaching voice. So I teach, like, K-1-2 in grade 6, but for my K-1-2s, like, my teaching
voice is
ridiculous. Like, and I'm more aware of it now ever since, like, Colin wrote that, like, that blog post series on Pizzetagogy about, like, reflecting on your teaching and, like, actually analyzing your teaching. I've tried to be more aware of, like, the type of words I use and how I use my voice. And like I'm like if I talk to people like that like on a daily basis, I would be like the strangest person around. But for the K-1-2s, like they love it, right? They eat it up. So I'm like, oh right, guys, let's
go.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
So like, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm kind of bummed that tomorrow's the last day.
Yeah, I am bummed too. It's gone really quickly. Like, but what I also have liked about it is like, there's always like a half an hour break between all of the sessions. Which has been really cool because it gives you
network.
Time to, definitely. And like I've been to conferences before where it's literally been like even today, like for me running 3 sessions in a row, I didn't feel like it was like, all right, this one's finished, now I've got to start the next one. I had that half an hour to like sort of like chat with a few people, get myself set up. I've been to other conferences where it's like you're literally running from one room to the next, and like you don't even have that time to really reflect on what's just happened in the last session. You're sort of like thinking about like, oh, I've got to get to the next session already. So it's like, it's really cool. I like the way they've done it, and like I've got to like just give a massive shout out to like the guys from Munich International School, Jason,
it's been fantastic,
yeah,
and all the crew. Like They are super, super organized.
Everything has been so well organized. And, you know, they've done a really good job at setting the tone, too, for, like, the energy and kind of, like, the environment here. Like I was saying, like, the bus rides are amazing. Like, it's so much fun, like, being on the bus. Like, everybody's excited. Everybody's chatting. It's so great. And then even the fact that, like, they know teachers. Like, they're organizing great socials. And, like, even today how they did it, like, they were setting up. They had all these sheets out where you could sign up for whatever social you were kind of interested in. But everything's been smooth. And what's great, too, what I'm loving about this, and I kind of experienced the same thing when... I was speaking in River Falls at University of Wisconsin. Oh, guys, here, we need two more beer. But it's the fact that, like, oftentimes you're going from session to session with the same group of teachers, and you're always surrounded by all the same teachers throughout the day. So you really feel like you're building relationships while you're here. Whereas, like, Shape America, like, don't get me wrong, Shape America was incredible, but it was so massive that it was really hard to kind of build those relationships with the teachers. Can we get two more of these, please?
Yeah. True. Thank you.
I'm
okay.
No thanks.
So,
make a move.
Do you want to, like, while you're here, do you want to tell us, like, because,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you talked to us today about your ski
business
that you do. So, you want to, like, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about?
You're based out of London, right?
Based out of London, yes. We're basically a travel company who only work with schools. We have done for the last 35 years. And we specialize in music. So if you're a school, regardless of where you are, if you want to take your orchestra or your band to a location anywhere in the world, then we can organize that. And we organize all the venues, and it is just a fabulous experience for them to go and perform. Educational tours as well, things like geography trips to Iceland, history trips to the battlefields, anything's really, you know, whatever's on the curriculum. So they take the kids out of their comfort zone, and the teachers basically can explain and make things more interactive. And then obviously the ski, which is what I'm fronting, have done for the last 5 years, and it really is one of those roles that I really enjoy, because I took the teachers from Shanghai and Dubai and Singapore last week up to Austria, showed them around exactly what they would experience, pretty much run through a full tour, and it was just the most incredible week. And they understood how it would work. And for them, you know, they don't see snow very often.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm from Singapore as well. I'm just like, yeah, the idea of snow is pretty foreign. So that would have been a really cool week. Actually, I went to a presentation a couple of weeks ago when I was in Canada visiting, and a teacher talked about the power of field trips and the things that, like, kids can learn when they go outside of a school environment. It's like, it's just so, it's so powerful. So it's like, it's really cool, I think, like, to get kids out of their comfort zone and to put them in, like, real life situations, because, like, when you're in school, like, it's this, like, little microcosm and snow globe of, like, this little place. And, like, when you get out into the real world and they're having to, like, think about, like, well, I've got to, like, got to buy my own food, I've got to, like, work out how to get from here to there, I've got to do this, that and the other. It's like a really, really cool, like, life experience for them. So,
and the experience of skiing is, you'll find kids that go into PE class and they are great at other sports, and then you'll find kids that completely and utterly flunk everything. And funny enough, it's because it's not essentially a sport, it's a
lifestyle,
it's a skill, yeah, it's a lifestyle activity, and therefore some kids actually excel when they're absolutely useless at sport, and they find it that they are really good, much better than the jocks as such, as, you know, the ones that are real sporty types. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
But
you never said your name or who you work for or your company. So I'm just saying, like, maybe we should put that information out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's my first podcast, you know. You gotta write down the list of what I should tick the boxes. But no, my name's Luke Pierce. I work for a company called Club Europe Group Travel. We're based out of London, and we're here on our fourth conference here with ECIS PE. So yeah, we've been supporting this initiative and these guys for a long time.
Yeah, well, definitely. Like, so, if anyone who's listening, if you're in a school who's here in Europe or even further abroad, and you're interested in something like that, like, definitely get in touch, and like, it's going to be an amazing experience for your kids.
Okay, wait. I just want to say, last night everybody was out of this beer hall having a grand old time. And Luke decides this morning that it'd be a great idea to go up and talk about his program and have everybody hold an air squat position as he's talking.
With 90-degree legs.
Yeah, 90-degree legs as
a warm-up.
As a warm-up challenge. Oh, man. I was not necessarily loving you this morning during that.
You had an option. You could have sat back and just sit down. And that, what I was hoping for was a lot of people would sit down because then they would listen intently.
I just have to say, I outlasted you two.
Yeah.
I was in it. I was. My goal was to beat Andy. That's all.
I had to like do my keynote after that. So I was out early. I was like, I just got to conserve energy. So Joe's got to run off. So thanks so much.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for coming and sharing with us.
Okay, thanks.
It was awesome.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. So like. I want to go. I want to bring my kids from Singapore and go on one of these trips. Let's do
it.
And you should
amazing.
Bring your kids from Montreal.
Yeah, I would love to.
We don't
do field trips.
It's you guys, as the teachers. Obviously, we do all the hard work for you. All you got to do is muster the troops. It's all paid for. It's such an experience for the kids. Yeah, you've got to be on site, but we take care of everything. Absolutely everything from start to finish. It's a real, you know, it's a bespoke. Package, so you guys just have to be passionate about skiing. That's all it is.
And again, like I always remember, like when I heard Amanda Stanek talk in Nova Scotia, and she was talking about, you know, physical literacy. It's not just about being good like at different activities, but it's being able or feeling confident in regards to different activities. But it's also being able to feel confident in different types of environments. And a lot of times, we don't take our kids out and like get them to experience like being on a mountain, being in the snow. Especially for places where they don't necessarily have that type of environment. Like, it's not a huge problem for me in Montreal, but I'm assuming Singapore, not a lot of people go out skiing on the weekend.
There's a facility that has, like, a little hill. It's an indoor facility, but, like, it literally is, like, probably, like, less than, like, 20 or 30 meters. So you just, like two or 3 seconds and you're on the bottom of the hill.
It's indoor, fake snow?
Indoor, fake snow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It's a bit like the Dubai people saying that they ski in their facility.
That's a pretty impressive facility, though.
It is.
Like, that's actually, like...
Really?
That's 400 meters. That's the biggest indoor ski area. The only one of two ski areas indoor that has its own chairlift. Everywhere else is button lifts. And it has an apres ski bar in the center. So you can ski 200 meters, stop, have a shot of schnapps, and then continue your route down to the bottom. I mean,
if you've got to stop after 200 meters, maybe you have a bit of a problem.
You have an issue with I don't know, lack of skiing or too much alcohol. But unfortunately there is a lack of kids going into skiing at the moment, which is a real shame. Within the school curriculum, ski trips are being cut and cut. Therefore. 3 or 4 years ago, all this big commercial or big mainstream ski companies didn't see an issue with this. But unfortunately, it's had a knock-on effect now because the kids are now getting to the age or starting to move into the mainstream market, and they've not had their ski trip as a child with the school at 15, 16, and therefore they're not becoming skiers for the rest of their life because it's a lifestyle choice. And unfortunately, it's affecting a lot of things. It's like anything, it's a knock-on effect. So that's what we're trying to do, and now the mainstream companies are realising that they have to work with us, the school operators, to make sure that the kids all get out on the slopes as much as possible, because it all helps them in the long run.
Yeah, it's like all that stuff that we've been talking about all weekend about physical literacy and stuff, and like the idea of like setting kids up for success as a lifelong thing. And like exactly like
that's
you say,
it.
Like if you don't have those experiences as a child. It's something like that I've talked about and I've read a lot about before, about like and I know Canada's really big in their like long term athlete development plan, and the idea that
Sport Canada has an amazing model.
Yeah, like that kids shouldn't like specialize in just one sport. As I think there's like some crazy stat that like of all the like North American sports leagues, if you look at like all the guys that get drafted, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or like Major League Baseball. More often than not, like 90% of them have come from like a multi-sport background. Like very few people who actually succeed as elite athletes have just done that one sport growing up. So like the more things you can expose your kids to, whether it's, you know, like skiing or if it's like in the water or if it's on land, and as many different sports as you can when you're a kid, like the more exposure you have and the more experience you have, the more confident and competent you're going to feel. Moving forward into life, and that's really what we want to be doing. We want to just be like setting kids up for success and allowing them to like grow into adults who are capable in a variety of things.
It was like I was saying yesterday, you know, like it sucks because even if you're an amazing physical educator, you're never going to see the real fruits of your labor. You're going to see kids being successful and showing that they're on the right track for physical literacy at a young age, but you know, you're not going to be around when like I was saying, like the end goal isn't just like that. that class or that unit or that school year. The end goal is that, like, in 15 years from now, when that kid gets called up by his buddies and he's like, hey, do you want to play intramurals at college? He says, yeah, I'll play intramurals. Like, I feel confident towards that. Or in 30 years, that when they have a small family and they got a 9-to-5 job, that they're still getting up in the morning to go for a jog because they understand the importance of staying active throughout their lifetime. And they also understand that the benefits of being active as well in terms of, like, performance, productivity, and all those things. And then in 50 years from now, when, again, in 50 years, we're not going to see them, but in 50 years from now, that they're still going swimming at the pool every morning because they understand that the reason they've led such a wonderful life was because of the fact that they put an emphasis on being active throughout their lifetime. And we're never going to get to see that, but that's why it's still so important for us to do everything we can to make sure that we're planting that seed that's eventually going to sound super corny saying it like this. Might be the beer in me, but that seed that's eventually going to grow into that tree. That's physical literacy.
Yeah. So. I'm really, like, it's something that Singapore does really, really well in terms of, like, access to facilities for their citizens.
Yeah, you mentioned
it,
especially with swimming.
Yeah, like, swimming especially, like, it costs 50 cents for a child to access to a public
pool.
So, like, it's incredible when you go there and you see these, like, 80, 90-year-old people, like, who go to the pool every single day.
Yeah.
It costs them a dollar. Like, everybody can afford that.
Yeah.
And even, like, you know, you want to rent a badminton court, it costs like $2 or $3. So that's, like, they've really made a commitment there in Singapore to, like, making sporting facilities accessible to the population. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's a small country and there's not a lot of space. So they want people to be, like, using the facilities and being active. So it's really cool. And, like, you know, like, I think that's a model that a lot of other countries could use, is, like, because I feel like, again, that there's a barrier that exists sometimes to people being active and being able to be physically literate further into their life, because, like, they can't afford to go. Like, I don't understand how people afford to be a member of a gym. Like, it is ridiculous. The cost to be a member of a gym is absurd.
Yeah.
For what? Like, so, you know, like, no, Singapore's got it right, I think.
Accessibility is such a huge issue, and it's such a shame that, like, even activities like skiing, like, that's one of the biggest barriers isn't only, like, proximity to a mountain or a ski hill or anything, but it's also just being able, like if I want to go skiing, like, I have a cottage in the eastern townships in Quebec, like, right on the Vermont border, and, like, I grew up right by Owl's Head, and I wish I could buy a pass to go to Owl's Head, but a pass for Owl's Head is $1,000 for a season, and I'm not even sure how many times I can actually make my way out there, you know? So it's an activity that I kind of rule out and I won't use. But one thing I will say is that, to the teachers listening here, reach out to, like spots in your community and see if you can set up partnerships and let them, like you were saying, how, like, it benefits them in the long run. Talk about, like, you know, like, I'm going to have, like, I've always set up a program where it's going to be free or cheap for my students to come here for, like, a month or something. And in the long run, they'll probably get more people registering for their program, whatever that program may be, maybe a pool, a gym, or whatever it is. But do something that allow, yeah, Jason, come on over. But do something that's going to make it a little bit easier for those kids to go out and be active. All right, we got Jason Bowerman here.
Yeah, this is the main man, the man who's
the reason
the man behind
here.
It all, the reason we're here. So we're recording podcasts right now, and we've been talking about all the fantastic things that have been happening around the conference. And we've got a proposal to put to you a little bit later. But
how are you feeling
about how things are going?
Very good, very well. The obviously the keynotes we've brought in, such as yourselves and Andy, as well as the teachers, you know, who are here, who are presenting. Based on the ECAS motto, teaching teachers, is fantastic. Plus, the sun helps.
Yeah, the weather has been absolutely incredible. Like, I remember checking last week, and it looked like it was going to snow every day, and then I checked again just before I came. It was, like, 20 degrees every day, and so, like, it's been awesome. It's been really, really cool.
The gale force winds last week, like I said, putting the high jump mat 100 meters into the forest, it was a bit of a startle, so.
And actually, we were talking about how great last night's social event was,
yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with your DJ. So,
yeah.
Respect to you on that one.
Well, I had a lot of good requests.
I do have to say, though, as someone who's not Canadian, there was a very Canadian feel to last night's.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's totally fine.
No, there was. I think O Canada was out a few times.
Once in English, once in French.
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, the second time wasn't even fully in French. It was the version canadienne de Montréal. So it was first part French, second part English.
Yeah. So the idea. Do you want to, like, tell Jason about our idea for tomorrow?
Yeah. So. When I was at the Shape America conference in Seattle, we did something. Our friends actually organized something called a demo slam, and what it is it was just a non-session session in the middle of a hall somewhere, and teachers go up and you have 2 minutes to present an idea. Present an idea, present an activity, present whatever it is. Like have people, like some people are having people do dances. But at the end of 2 minutes, everybody goes slam. And even if you're mid-sentence, you have to stop and then somebody else can come up and present an idea. It was a ton of fun. So I was thinking maybe tomorrow we can try to organize that. I don't know, like at lunch or like something like that, but like during like a non-session time mm-hmm. where we'll just kind of like announce it and try and get teachers to come out. And a lot of people just want to present an idea really quickly. It was super cool. Adam, Naomi, and Colin did such a great job in Seattle, like running it. So I thought it was something that we could kind of organize here tomorrow.
Definitely sounds good.
Yeah, cool.
First thing in the morning, just make sure you let me know.
All right, awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Like we've just all we've been doing for the last hour is singing the praises at this conference and the feel and like the tone that you guys have set as a crew who are organizing it has just been really, really good. Really good.
The whole theme of game on and learning through games was set. The first night when we did the games quiz.
Yeah.
And that's what really set the tone.
Spiel off.
Set the tone for the whole conference, and with that, it's just been like, riding a wave. Mm-hmm. It's just carried itself.
We were just saying, like, both of us are really disappointed that tomorrow's the last day.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just feel like it could go on forever.
It does go by so quick, and then the next week, for most, you're just in a haze. You're like, did that just happen?
Conference hangover.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I guess like we want to like take the opportunity like publicly now on the podcast to just thank you so much
and thank all
of the people for who've like helped with the organization and stuff, but like for getting us here, because like for me, like I've learned so much over the last 2 days and I'm going to learn a lot tomorrow, and like just even the opportunity to like be in the same room as this guy and as Andy and all the other people. Like we just had like Joe from Metropolitan International School in Frankfurt. We asked her to come on because we had a conversation with her on the way to the bus where she was like telling us about this thing she did in a Net War Games unit, and I was like, that's such a great idea, like I hadn't thought of that before. I'm like, right, we're going back to do a podcast, like you're coming out and you're going to explain that idea. So like there are all these people that just have these such great ideas, and because of the size of the conference, it's really like and like we were saying as well, after every session there's that sort of half an hour break where you get a chance to like decompress, chat, network, get all these ideas. It doesn't feel like you're sort of rushing from here to there to everywhere. So
you can tell that the people organizing this are teachers, because they like everything has been set up in a way that it's just completely supports what teachers actually want out of a conference. They don't want to be going to sessions that are by some kind of supplier or anything. They're going to be pitching some kind of product and getting to buy. They want to be going to sessions by teachers who are showing them like here's something you can do. They want to be given opportunities where they can kind of hang out all day, and we've had that opportunity. It's been so nice because you wind up spending so much time with people, because it's not a huge, like I was saying, in Seattle there was like 5,000 teachers there. But here, like, it's a smaller group and you actually get to hang out with everybody. And even the best part of the day is the bus ride. Like just hanging out on the bus and hearing everybody so like buzzing, and so like there's so much electricity in the air and everybody's so excited. So like everything has just been ideal for like a teacher coming to this conference. It's kind of what you want out of a conference. So.
Yeah, definitely.
We have set the numbers usually roughly 130 to just accommodate one for location, facilities, and what we normally have available to us. And with that, you create such a sense of community right away. Mm. And I mean, this year having almost 50% new, which is great. And last year there was a good 25% that also came from Asia. Now there's a huge group now coming from there. Yeah. Word of mouth carries. Everyone loves it. They love the small, intimate, kind of family-like feeling.
Yeah.
And over the years, ECIS is like, okay, what went well at this one? Okay, what can we do better next time? All right, let's do this. You get the feedback from all of you guys to say, hey, I had a great idea. And the last 4 or 5 years, it's really just taken off with the committee. And different people stepping up, saying, hey, there's so-and-so over there. They had a great idea. Or you overheard them on the bus. Hey, why don't you present?
Yeah.
And because last year we had the first ones where people were sweating immensely right before they were presenting. They're like cold as feet. It's like, you go in front of a student, easy, no worries. Yeah. You go in front of peers who are fellow teachers, it gets a little more interesting sometimes.
It's hard, right? Because you're afraid people are going to pick apart your idea. And people are going to be like, oh, no, that's not the best way of going about it. And we were kind of talking about this before, is that like there's so much in our teaching that we kind of like internalize, and then we don't even notice that we're doing anymore in our teaching. And just getting to see somebody in action in front of people and seeing like how they use their voice, how they use their body positioning, how they use their presence and everything, like even just that, there's so much value getting that you can take out of that. So no, like, and it, but I understand like how hard it is to get teachers to want to present in these conferences. And, like I was involved with APEC, the phys ed association back in Quebec, and that was one of our biggest problems, was the fact that like no teacher wanted to step up, and even great teachers doing amazing programs that would be like impossible to criticize, they were like too shy to go up and like present it. But I think that the way that you set up the culture here is a very welcoming, very understanding, and very like friendly culture. And I think that's going to support that idea of like more teachers being like, no, yeah, I could totally present. Like, yeah, I'd want to hear this. Like, I feel like my ideas, my opinions, whatever, will be valued by the people at the conference. So great job, honestly. This has been a blast.
You know, as a teacher, you get kids out of their comfort zone. Yeah. Well, teachers need to be out of their comfort zone as well. So.
And I've said this so many times, too. When you're, and we're talking about like even, was it with you I was talking about blogging? Where even when you blog, you know, you're presenting an idea you've used in your teaching, but you have to like sit down and really think about it. And you have to like work it out more. And you go through all the steps and you dive deeper into that idea and you think, oh yeah, I could have done this differently. Like the idea, sharing ideas with other people just helps you develop your own ideas even better.
Like, yeah, I was talking to you about it actually. I was talking about the inquiry-based webinar that I did for Spark.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, like I've been working in inquiry-based schools for 5 years and it's just something that I do. Like, it's not something that I think about. And so like to actually like have to present a webinar on like inquiry-based learning to like a group of people who, like I knew that like a lot of the participants like in the US especially didn't have like a great knowledge of it. It was really, really difficult for me to actually get down like what it was that I actually believed in and what it was that I actually did, because like for me it's just what I do. But to be able to do that and to write, to get it all down in the presentation stuff, I was like, oh yeah, like yeah, I do this, I really believe in this, like maybe I do this, but maybe that's not a great idea. But like I now feel like I have a much better idea myself of the way that I go about things and what I believe in about inquiry-based education. And if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have been able to like reflect, and that's something I talked about today. I was like, you know, like to be able to actually learn, you have to like reflect on your experience.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just experiencing something isn't going to help you learn anything. Like if you're just playing a game, great. If you don't actually think about what it was you were doing while you were playing that game, then there's going to be no learning that takes place. So being able to like blog, be on a podcast like this, or just share your ideas at a conference is like such a great way to improve yourself as a teacher, because it actually makes you really think about like, what is it that I really believe? Because I think for most people, like, you don't want to put an idea out there that you don't believe in, because yeah, there is that fear of getting picked apart, and or like not even picked apart, but like people questioning you. Like you put an idea out there and somebody says, well, you know, like that's great, but what about this? And if you know, if you don't believe in it, it's gonna be really hard for you to answer that question. So like to really like reflect critically on what you think and what you feel and what you believe, I think is the best way to improve yourself as a person and as a teacher.
Yeah. We set our own limits.
Yeah, exactly.
Fall into other people's limits.
Yeah.
And if you don't break those limits or choose your own limits, yeah, then you sit back.
Yeah, definitely.
And it comes down to just having that growth mindset, right? And being comfortable with the idea that you're not perfect. Like I was saying, like even in the keynote, I was like, if you find a game that's perfectly aligned with like your outcomes, that you've been able to break down into layers, that you've discovered modification secondary rules that can enhance learning, and that you've evaluated that it actually worked, the game actually worked, like please share it with me. Like because honestly, like it's funny being a presenter and a speaker and being up there and people are looking at it, it's like, oh, this person's like an expert in me. I do not consider myself to be an expert. If I was the ideal teacher that I want to be, I wouldn't be teaching anymore. Like I want to be the best teacher I can possibly be, and I'm still striving to be that. And sometimes like it's a real struggle. Sometimes I don't understand what's wrong with my teaching. So that's why it's so nice being able to connect with teachers and getting teachers to share their own opinions and hear and having people help you out with your ideas. Oftentimes you're so close to that like that level where you're gonna be able to be successful in whatever your idea is and everything. And all you're missing is that like one little piece of feedback that somebody could give you if you shared that incomplete idea. But oftentimes we feel like, no, my idea has to be fully realized, has to be complete, I need to put out the perfect example for it. No, put out, even if it's just like version like 1.0 and whatnot, you put it out there, you have people discuss. Like the Great Unpacking like blog post series, like my goal here is to try to unpack every one of the grade level outcomes, the Shape America grade level outcomes. Now the way I'm going to go about that unpacking is based off of my own experience, my own beliefs and everything. But the reason I want to do it publicly is because I want people to criticize what I'm going to say. I want people to be like, well, you should think of doing it this way. And I want to have it like in that very public place of the internet. And I'm hoping that through that, it will accelerate how fast I can actually teach myself how to be really good at unpacking and making sure that I'm creating content that's perfectly aligned with student learning.
So people don't speak up about, you know, if several people are working on the same project and they're not going to speak up and say, oh, well, maybe did you think of this? And then you get an idea, oh, did you think of this? We're all in it for the same reason.
Yeah, it's like for me today, like actually like presenting my keynote, and like I think like the thing that people like came up to me and spoke to me most about today was the fitness improvement plans that I talked about, and like that was something that like literally like similar like you said, like you decided on your workshop with Andy in 17 minutes yesterday. Yeah. Like that fitness improvement plan idea like was like just one of those ideas that I had like on the bus on the way to school that day. And I was like, I gotta start my fitness units today, like how am I gonna go with this? And I was like, I got this idea, and like and I'm gonna blog about it, but like the idea that I allowed my students to like take control and say like, this is what I want to improve in my fitness, this is how I'm going to go about improving that fitness, this is why I want to improve that, and this is how I'm going to know I have improved. And like the number of students that were like just like so engaged in wanting to improve in it and continue to want to improve was like unbelievable compared to, you know, like I was talking to somebody, one of the guys from school in Moscow, he's saying like, yeah, like I used to fitness test all the time, but like, why did I do it? Who was it for? Like, it wasn't for me. It wasn't for the kids. They didn't care. So like, I'm collecting all this data, but like what for? But it's again, it's just because like, that's what was happening and that's the norm. And like, it's really easy. It's easy to fitness test. It's easy to put the beep test on and just go, okay, off you go. But yeah, like for me, like again, like we said, like that, like I did that sort of unit like a month ago. And like when I was doing it, I was thinking like, this isn't like that great. Like I don't need to blog about this. This is not something that I think is like really like people are wondering whether this is a good idea. But like now that I've shared that, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go and blog about this now, because like it feels like people want to know about that sort of stuff. And again, like it was just something that I like sort of thought of.
That's the thing, is that so same way I've done my fitness unit in the past, fitness testing is super useful because it's good for you to really have a clear idea of where you are in your fitness levels. But you shouldn't be comparing yourself or being compared by your teacher to like these like benchmark scores or whatever. Like that's not fair. Like everybody's their own unique person. Everybody's gonna develop their fitness at their own rate. So that's like my fitness unit. That's what I do, is I use fitness testing at first by telling you you're never gonna be graded based on whatever result you are. Go back, analyze your fitness score results, determine which component of fitness you feel is your weakest. From that weakness, create a SMART goal. So I teach them about SMART goals, so that you can create yourself a goal around that weakness, so that you're gonna be able to improve it. And then, and again, it was funny. I forget who was talking about yesterday about like kind of units that go on throughout the year. Like this is at the beginning of the year this year, and then around right after the winter break, we went back and we looked at our goals and said, okay, how are we doing? Let's make an action plan. Let's make this real right now. So making an action plan, breaking down that goal and saying like, here's what activities I'm going to do, and here's kind of like the benchmarks I want to try and reach for myself by this date. And then in May, what we're going to do is we're going to go back, we're going to redo our fitness testing and see if we reach our goal. And the thing is, what I'm assessing, I'm not assessing based on if you reach your goal or not, but I want you to show me that you understand why you reached your goal, or if you didn't reach your goal, what could you do differently next time to make sure that you do reach it. And like, when you talk about like lifelong skills, like that's what's important. Like who cares if Jimmy can do like 100 push-ups or 50 push-ups in grade 6? What matters is that when Jimmy gets like a freshman 15, when he gets to college and everything, and he realizes that like he's maybe not adopting the healthiest lifestyle, then he'll know what to do in order to take charge of that situation and make the changes necessary. And that's like, again, that's the idea of keeping that end in mind, is that it's not just about what your kid's able to do that day. It's not just about getting them happy and sweaty. It's not just about getting them to reach certain benchmarks in their fitness testing. It's thinking long term, how am I developing this human being to be healthy and active throughout their entire lifetime? Even though you might, again, you might never get to see it,
yeah,
but at least you know you've done everything you can to get them on that right path. And that's what's important.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, guys, I got to get moving.
All right.
But again, very, very big thanks for helping make this PCIS conference a success.
Yeah.
And obviously, we still have one more day to go. We can't forget that.
We're going
to
make it count. Tomorrow, the main man, Andy Vassily, is going to drop the hammer.
Drop the hammer.
What are the two magic words?
Spiel auf.
Spiel auf.
Spill off. Thanks very much, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for jumping in.
We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, we've been talking way too long.
Yeah. So, Prost.
Prost.
Spiel auf. And thanks.
This is awesome. This is really, we're going to do this again in North Carolina.
In North Carolina for sure. And it's been an amazing experience. And like, it's actually like we've been talking about, like the ability to actually be able to like speak with people and have them as guests has been really cool in those conversations. So really, really cool.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening. I want to say one thing. Nathan and I right now are sitting at a bar in Germany drinking beer and recording a podcast. And this is something I'm never going to forget my entire life. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in Seattle surrounded by some of the best teachers in the world. And I'm so privileged and so lucky to be able to be experiencing these things. And I just want to say, if you're listening to this, I want everybody to know how grateful I am for all of you, because I wouldn't be here right now doing this. We wouldn't be here doing this. If it wasn't for all the people who supported us, who believed in our ideas and helped promote us. And honestly, again, I just want you to know how grateful I am for all of your support over the years.
Yeah.
Ditto. Yeah, hopefully we'll keep getting your support, keep deserving your support.
Yeah, definitely.
And I wish everybody could experience something like this, because it's amazing. Just thank you so much. Keep up all the amazing work you're doing. Nathan, you and I got a lot more beer to drink, so let's get on
that. So, like, in the spirit of Munich.
Prost!
Prost!
Bye, everyone.